Temptation. It is a reality of life. We all experience temptation. Jesus experienced temptation. Jesus resisted temptation by relying on God's word. We can too. Amen. That's the "it's so simple, just do this and everything will be fine" version of temptation. But it kind of seems hollow, arrogant, irrelevant as advice to anyone. So let's dig a little deeper. Let me take you on a tour of how an early hearer of the first part of this account of Jesus' temptation would likely react, and how one today might react. I'll use different voices to experience the two times. The first one will be from the past, the second one from today, and any perceived bias in my voice is intentional. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, just like Moses and Elijah, they were completely connected to God. Just like the pastor at that really big, just built a new building church. Or maybe it's more like the people who faint on TV. Or where they aren't taking any precautions during the pandemic because the Holy Spirit will save them. Was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Wait, the Spirit led Jesus from a place of blessing to a place of danger? Is that right?
Where the Spirit leads, we must follow.
Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. Well, that's a significant amount of time. It reminds me of the 40 days Moses fasted on the mountain and the 40 days Elijah fasted on the mountain. I know it's the number we talk about when we're thinking about a time of testing. This Jesus must be really important.
A person could die if they didn't eat for 40 days, and Jesus must have had water. God obviously kept him alive, even though he didn't eat or drink.
All too often, we look for something simple that we can do when we read the Bible. And I don't think the account of the temptation of Jesus works that way. The temptation introduction gets to it right away. This account isn't about the exacts. It's about what is significant about the descriptions. It isn't about defining what the Holy Spirit does and doesn't do. It's about the Holy Spirit's presence even in the chaos. It isn't about the scientific certainties. It's about remembering the past, understanding that Jesus was tested, and being challenged to understand more about temptation and what to do about it. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness can bring up different images in our mind. Bible passage here is trying to communicate some place where God is absent. In the Hebrew language, it's called tohu vebohu, the formless void that existed before God created. It was the place where there was no order, only chaos. That comes from the Greek word chaos. And the word, that word in Greek is the equivalent to the Hebrew tohu vebohu. It's a place where no one wants to be and no one would ever choose to be. But it is a place where Jesus was led. The pandemic has felt like a time in the wilderness. Voices of temptation seek to bring chaos. But while Jesus was in tohu vebohu, the Spirit was there. If we ever feel like we are surrounded by chaos, that we are in tohu vebohu, God is still never absent. As a matter of fact, tohu vebohu, to follow the story of creation in Genesis, is the place where God begins to create. Jesus was tempted three times. First, the tempter asked a famished Jesus to turn the stones into bread so he could eat. And Jesus responded with scripture, Deuteronomy 8:3, one does not live by bread alone. Why wouldn't he make bread if he could? I think this is the temptation that gives me the most trouble to understand. Some say that if Jesus did use his miracle ability for his own benefit, he would lose his credibility when he asked the disciples to deny themselves and follow him. I'm not talking about anything extra here. We're talking about bread for a famished person. What's wrong with wanting to eat when hungry? I guess the best explanation I have is that Jesus wasn't going to do it just because the tempter dared him to do it. He'd eat soon enough. The other two temptations are easier to understand. The second one, where Jesus is tempted to take the easy route to power, had an easy answer. Jesus answered with Deuteronomy 13:4, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." I think the whole reality that Jesus wasn't here as a political or military leader made this temptation easy to resist. I think it can remind us that attempts to rule politically and militarily by religious means aren't what God calls us to do. The third temptation is sort of fun. The tempter twisted scripture to try to get Jesus to hurl himself off the peak of the temple. They quoted from Psalm 91, "He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus responded with Deuteronomy 6:16, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil tempted Jesus by using scripture. He took the Bible and twisted it into something it's not. Think about that. When we use the Bible to exclude, to harm, to marginalize, or exploit anyone, we do the same thing. And what else do we do? I don't know if these particular temptations are ones that we resonate with. They're not that clever, and I think we are not easily fooled. But what kinds of things are we tempted by that aren't so easy to identify? How about some of these? The temptation to do nothing to care for others because we have so much to do ourselves. The temptation to not take precautions, get vaccinated, wear a mask during the pandemic because it's a personal choice. Never mind how it puts the rest of the population at risk. Or saying that you can't be an effective church until you don't have any problems. Or saying you can't do your best to make things better because there's no guarantee it will be better. The temptation in assuming we have it all figured out. Bible study, church services, discussing God things with other people all help us to understand things more and more. But as soon as we think we've got it all figured out, we lose the blessing of being on a faith journey. We stop. I don't want to stop. I want to continue learning, experiencing, wondering, imagining, doubting. We're at the beginning of a journey within a journey right now. We're in that 40-day period of Lent, a time to reflect and prepare to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. During this time, I know we'll be tempted. What exactly we'll be tempted by, I don't know. What exactly we'll do, I don't know. We don't have to worry about the incorrect idea that God is up there like a cosmic sheriff just waiting for us to mess up. Maybe right now you can think of some things you've been tempted by. You can think of the temptation that you've resisted. You can think of some temptation that you've yielded to. When we're tempted, I hope that we'll remember that even when we feel like we are in tohu vebohu, the wilderness, chaos, we are not alone. When we fail, I hope that we remember that we didn't just send ourselves to tohu vebohu. We are not abandoned or alone. This week, let's spend some time paying attention to the journey. Let's put some attention on caring for others and remembering that we don't know everything. And we don't have to look at every made or missed opportunity to love as some kind of test. We are not alone. We journey together. We journey with God, our companions. Amen.